Last Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken, Ray had pretty well covered verse 17 of Ephesians 6 and take the helmet of salvation. And so he talked about the helmet and as it relates to salvation and how salvation is obtained and so forth. So tonight, and I'm not sure what his plan will be for next week, because it may be that he may want to back up and cover the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the latter part of verse 17, which is what I'm going to talk about tonight. But of course, any two lessons even given on the same topic is not the same. And so he may want to revisit this next week. I'm not sure what his plan is on that, and talk with you about the thoughts that and his studies along those lines. And so we anticipate that and look forward to him continuing the study next week. I almost feel like that out of all of them, from what he began to cover, beginning with verse 13, that the week that he was gone really seems like I probably got the easier of the topics, because there's a number of things and directions, I guess, that you could go relative to the Word of God. And especially since we're starting 10 minutes late, there's just really no way that you could do an exhaustive lesson on the Word, even in a full 30-minute session or an hour session, or really even a quarter study. But I hope that we can look at some things relative to the Bible and think about how important it is, how powerful it is, and what it provides to each and every one of us. I didn't think to run any copies off, but how many of you have seen there's a small poem that's called My Bible and I? You've seen that before? I'll try to remember to make some copies and share that with you, but it just has the idea of traveling with our Bibles, and no matter where we are in life, our Bible is always by our side, and we always open it up and study and meditate upon it. And that's important. We know how important studying the Word of God is, but it seems like one of the often neglected benefits that we have is just to sit down and read the Word of God. Sometimes without really even studying, about just to sit down and let God talk to us by His Word. And sometimes we may feel like we're just too busy to do that. And we ought not feel that way. We ought to strive to make time in our daily lives, if at all possible, each and every day, to study or at least to read the Word of God. And so Ray has been talking about the whole armor of God. I think he's done a very good job on it. And I'll try my best to continue with the thought this evening, dealing with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And again, there's a lot of different directions that you could go. Of course, our text is Ephesians 6, 13 through 17, and especially for tonight, the latter part of verse 17, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is not the only place where the symbolism is given, talking about the Word of God and describing the Word as a sword. Where else in the Bible do you find that figurative language used relative to God's Word? Can you think of a few places?
Revelation deals with
that. Yeah, that's right. Revelation chapter 1, he talks about when John turned to see who was talking with him, and he saw the Son of Man standing among the lampstands. Talked about the sword, double-edged sword that came forth from his mouth. And chapter 2, he talked about at least a couple of verses in chapter 2. Where's another example of that? One that you're really familiar with. That's right. Yeah, good. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, right? What does that verse say?
God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division even to the bone, the soul, spirit, the joints, and the marrow.
Yeah, that's
discern the thoughts and the intents.
That's right. It's a very good description about the Word of God. And of course, that's not talking about literally a literal separation of the bones and the marrow and so forth. He's talking about the fact that of what God's Word can accomplish, that it's quick, the King James Version says, Version Mark just read from says living. Maybe one of your versions render that in another way. Any other words for that? To be alive, it's living, it's not dead. We'll certainly talk about that, at least briefly touch on that this evening. So the Word of God. Do we cherish the Word of God? I think that's a good question. A thought-provoking question as we examine ourselves. How much do we cherish the Word of God? Could you imagine living in either a time or a place where the Word of God is not accessible to individuals? I have in a book that I have where it talks about in a particular time of history where the Word of God was not readily acceptable, or wasn't acceptable, but wasn't accessible to the population. It wasn't allowed to be in common hands. And this particular man would take a stool, and on the bottom of the stool, he nailed a copy of the Bible to the bottom of the stool, fastened it to the bottom. And so that he would turn that over and read and study the Bible and teach his family. And if any of the authorities came, he would just simply turn the stool over and sit on it, because it wasn't allowed to be read. In places like China today, it's not allowed to be taught. It's not allowed to be read. I think I shared with you a story of a preacher who continues to go to China on evangelistic endeavors, and he teaches the people. Of course, you can't do that openly. So they get some of the local ones that know that he's coming. They go from point A to point B as if they're on a sightseeing tour. And as they're going from location to location, they talk about the Word of God. We're blessed to be in this country, to be able to meet in a fashion like this and study the Word of God. Here's some things that I know that you're familiar with, but I want us to think about as we think about the Word of God. And that is that the Word of God has to be read. There's just no getting around that. We have got to spend time reading the Word of God. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words, this book. And so God's Word has got to be read. If we don't read it, we're never going to learn it. And sometimes we just put that aside, and I know how busy we can get, and before we realize it, the day is spent, and we just haven't read the Word of God. Or maybe days have gone by and we haven't read the Word of God. If we do not read Ephesians 3 verse 5, we will not understand. We will not know what God would have us to know. Ephesians 5:17, wherefore be not unwise, but, what's he say? Understanding what the will of the Lord is. But folks, if we don't read it, we're not going to know it. So that's the point that Paul is making to these Christians at Ephesus in Ephesians 3:3-5, is that he received it by revelation, but he pinned it down and he said, whereby when you read it, you can understand. In other words, when you read what I penned, then you can understand what was revealed to me concerning the mystery of Christ. We're not going to understand that if we don't first read it. So we understand. And that's not to insult your intelligence in any way or to belittle anyone. We understand that His Word must be read. It needs to be read for ourselves. It needs to be read to our families. It needs to be read to others. But it needs to be studied. Now tell me the difference between reading and studying. Sometimes we make that distinction. But what's the distinction between the two? You know the difference. What's the difference if I just sit down and read as opposed to study?
If you don't study it, you don't get the exact thought that the writer is trying to convey. Yeah. You just read through them and you don't meditate upon anything
that's the same. That's right. I mean, a lot of young ones that go to school, you know the difference between merely bringing home your textbook and just simply sitting down and reading it as opposed to studying to ascertain the meaning of it. And we'll talk about that in just a moment a little bit more. But Psalm 1:2, he shall meditate day and night in the Word of God, in His testimonies, in His statutes. So we've got to study. Now, A lot of times we'll use 2 Timothy 2:15 as if he's really talking about studying as far as trying to ascertain the meaning. But some persons will render study to show thyself approved, give diligence to present thyself approved. That's really what he's talking about. We understand we've got to study the Word of God. How many of us enjoy studying the Word of God? Hopefully everybody would be willing to say, I enjoy studying the Word of God. And it is fun. It can be hard. And there's times that I get frustrated. You probably do too, because you spend time just really struggling with a passage. And at the end of the day, you still don't know what it means. But you don't give up. You keep on going. But it is enjoyable to sit down and really study the Word of God and piece it together and learn it and grow. And this, all of this has to do with taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Because he's talking about taking the whole armor of God to be equipped to be able to fight this spiritual battle that we as Christians fight. But listen, what good would it do to hand a soldier M16 or AK-47, whatever else they may want to use, and they've never pulled the trigger before? They've never had target practice before. They know nothing about sight, adjusting their sights or anything else. How effective do you think they would be? Think they'd be effective? So suppose we take the sword of the Spirit in this spiritual battle that we are in, the Word of God, and yet we know nothing about it. In other words, we know not how to use it. How effective are we going to be? We've got to read it. We've got to study it. Meditate upon it. We've got to rightly divide it, 2 Timothy 2:15. Right? Be approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing, King James Version, American Standard, handling aright the Word of God. Using it in the right way, keeping things in its proper perspective. Got to be diligent about doing that. God's Word must be believed. Mark 16:16. I don't have to convince you about that. You believe the Word of God. Most all of you have obeyed the Word of God. It must be believed. We've got to be convinced that this is not the words of men, but it is the Word of God. If not, we're not going to be effective with it. If we doubt that it originated in the mind of God. The fourth quarter of next year, we're going to talk about John, evidences of belief. And John penned John, and he made that statement in John 20, verses 30 and 31, these things are written that you might believe. It needs to be believed. And by the way, that comes as a result of, somebody said, study, reading, study. These things are written that you might believe. We understand that. It's got to be obeyed. Hebrews 5, 8, 9, and a host of other passages. You believe it all day, every day if you want to, until the Lord comes back. But if you don't obey it, it's been a waste of your time. It'd be a waste of my time. I'll say that personally. If I study it, and I will make no application of it. It's got to be shared. 2 Timothy 2, to the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. We need to share it. Not only read it, study it, rightly divide it, believe it and obey it, but share it with others. We talk about, we had a class earlier in the year on ways to study the Bible. If we're going to effectively study the Bible, there are what needs to be followed. There are some very basic, somebody that came to that class, very basic, so it's just rules, very basic Bible rules that have to be observed. You already know every one of these, I'm sure. Let's think about this. Must observe the context. By context, what do we mean? What are we talking about? You must observe the context.
In light of the stuff that's being conveyed, you know, not taken outside its meaning or what it's trying to say.
That's right. That's right. What's the overall purpose that he's trying to get me to know? Huh? What did you
in
say?
The environment that okay. the writer was writing and repenting uh-huh. as far as his thought in that environment of what he's wanting to do.
Yeah. And so there's all kinds of things that you could think about. What preceded that particular verse or reading or chapter? What came before it? What follows after it? An ex preacher just recently, I was listening to some of the things he was saying. He said, if you go back at least about 3 to 5 verses before and 3 to 5 after, usually that'd do it as far as giving you an idea of what's going on. We don't need to stop there. But we need to think about what happened in the previous chapter and so forth. I'll just pick the Bible up and say, that's what I'm studying today. And you can do that and you can read it, but you better spend time thinking about the context. Yeah, that's right. Some very basic things. Keep things in their proper place we just talked about. Like what one preacher talked about when he said, suppose you was going to open up the Bible and you just let it fall open to the book of Genesis chapter 6 and said, that's where I'm going to start studying. That's where I'm going to start obeying. What would you find yourself doing? Genesis chapter 6. Yeah, you might find yourself going out here and scraping off some land to build an ark. Because you said, well, I just read about it. God just said, go build an ark of gopher wood. Where am I going to find some gopher wood? Well, you open it up to Deuteronomy 16:16, and what might you find yourself doing? Remember what? I've used that several times in my sermons. You might be going to Therefore, at least, and not a plane to go to Jerusalem for those 3 annual feasts of the Jews. All the men, we'd be going over it 3 times a year. The Bible said to do it. Keep things in a proper perspective, right? You can think of all kinds of examples to show someone about that. If that just simply won't work, say, well, I'm going to turn there and that's what I'm going to start obeying. Keep things in their proper place. Sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Know who's doing the talking like Ann just talked about. Know who is being talked to. When I talked about the apostles Sunday morning, we talked about the conversation the Lord was having in John 13, 14, 15, and 16. Who was He talking to in those passages? The apostles. He wasn't talking to me. The Lord was doing the talking to the apostles. So when we study the Bible, we need to know who He's talking to. If we don't observe the context, we're going to get things all mixed up and we're not going to be effective with the Word of God. Let me give you an example. All these are Bible verses, right? But suppose someone is reading these and they say, well, the Bible says to do it, so I guess I better go out and do it because in Matthew 27:5, the Bible says, and he went and hanged himself. And then in Luke 10:37, the Lord said, go and do thou likewise. And then in John 13:27, he said, that thou doest, do quickly. And so someone comes up with a conclusion that I guess I better go out and quickly hang myself. Why not? Didn't the Bible say that he went and hung himself? The Lord said, do it quickly and do likewise. Didn't the Bible say that? Why not? Why would that not be the right conclusion of that? Every one of those statements is true. But the Lord wasn't talking to me. He wasn't telling me to go and do what Judas did in light of the context of that. Something so simple like that. But someone may say, I need to go out and quickly do that. We've got to look at the context of what's being discussed. Doesn't matter if we're studying the Old Testament or if we're studying the New Testament. We've got to keep that in our mind. Who's doing the talking? Who is he talking to? What's happening in this particular point in Israel's history? When these prophets are talking to them and being sent to the kings of Judah or Israel or whatever the case may be, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We want to be effective with our weapon. We want to know this book. And I want to be, and I hope you feel the same way, I want to be the best student of the Bible that I can be. Now, I may not be as good of a student of the Bible as you are. I may never be able to attain to that level. But I want to be the best student of the Bible that I can be, right? We need to have that attitude. The best that we can be. Well, I've got about 10 minutes or so, let's notice some things about the Word of God. The Word of God is, and all this has to do with Ephesians as we think about the Word of God. And again, there's just a host of directions that you could go and study the Word of God. But we know from the Bible that the Word of God is divine. Over and over and over, the Bible makes the point and makes the claim. I'll put it that way. The Bible makes the claim, and we'll talk more about it, that it is of a divine origin. You know that verse, 2 Timothy 3:16. What does he say? Yeah, that's right. And again, as we've pointed, it's been pointed out in numerous lessons, what does the word inspiration in that passage mean? Yeah, God breathed. That's what it literally means. God breathed. It came forth from the mouth of God. It originated with God, not with man. A lot of passages talk about that, like in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. You're checking on that. When he talks about the fact that they had received the Word of God, not as the words of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And so it came from God. And Paul talked about that in the first chapter of the book of Galatians. The things I preached unto you, I received it not of man, but by revelation, right? It's true. Divine origin. 2 Timothy 3:16. True. Psalm 119:151. Thy commandments are true. Now listen, I may not understand, as I've said before, I may not understand everything this book has to say. But that doesn't mean that it's so far beyond our comprehension that we can't understand it. It just takes time and study. Try to put that on fast forward, maybe. I don't know. Living. John 6:63, when the Lord said, these words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It's not a dead letter. It accomplishes exactly what God wants it to accomplish. Again, Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is living, or quick, sharper, and so forth. Hebrews 4:12. Settled. Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Not only is it true, not only is it divine, not only is it a living letter, word, but it's settled. God spoke it. He's spoken to us. And those things are settled in heaven. It's everlasting, Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth pass away, but His words will never pass away. And so, those are some things about the Word of God. And the Word of God calls. Because of time, you're just going to have to write these down. But here's at least 10 things that's accomplished by the Word of God. And by the way, when someone tells you that the Holy Spirit, by way of a direct operation of the Holy Spirit, accomplishes various things, you give them all the passages in the Bible that says that the Word of God does that. Such as when they say the Holy Spirit calls one. The Bible says that the Word of God, the Gospel, is how individuals are called. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. The Word of God saves. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Sanctifies. Sanctify them through thy truth. What's the rest of that? Our Word is true. Do you believe that? It's clean. John 15:3. The Lord said to the apostles, that's right. That's right. John 8:32. The truth shall make you free. Free from what? How do you know it's sin? That's right answer. Because of context, right? He goes on two or three verses after that and talks about that. Purifies. The reason I say that is because I remember having that same question. How do you know that he's talking about free from sin? Well, the context says that. 1 Peter 1:22-25. So you have purified your souls and obey the truth. He talks about the gospel. It edifies. What did Paul say in Acts 20 verse 32? Talking to, who did he talk to? Ephesian elders, right? Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among God men that are sanctified. It comforts, 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Oh, we're comforted by the Holy Spirit, someone says today. I agree with that. It's how. Paul said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. He's talking about those who die in the Lord in that context, in that chapter. It equips Ephesians 6:17. That's our passage for tonight. We take a spiritual weapon that He's given to us. Our time's coming down, but by the Word of God, all will be judged. John 12:48. What's the Lord say? That's right. The words that I've spoken, same shall judge. Romans 2:16. Revelation 20:12. Talk about those open books. What happened out of those books that were open? They were judged from those books. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I apologize about not being able to start on time, but it was beyond what I could control. I appreciate your good attention.